Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Richmond. It's 12 noon and I'm AWOD here on the new sports radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the most football talk in town. And once again, today is a misery Monday for the Commanders. But I don't know about you guys out there listening. I feel proud of my team. I am proud of the effort that we showed, proud of the fight. It is another loss, but you know, not nearly as miserable. I'm not going to say it's a moral victory Monday, but I'm proud of my boys here on a misery Monday for the way they played on prime time. You know, they gave me every reason to stay up and even an exciting overtime period. Do I wish they won? Absolutely. I'm not in the bit here of tank for a higher draft pick. I want to win games. I want to build momentum towards next season. This season is a wash. Mariota's not our franchise quarterback, and it kind of showed why at the end of the game there, but I loved Dan Quinn and the players responding to their head coach. Much, much better effort on the defensive end. So it is a misery Monday. We'll go around the NFL with our winners and losers of the week. It's a victory Monday for Virginia fans. Virginia Cavaliers, the Hoos, are headed to Charlotte for the 2025 ACC title game in football. How about that? What a difference a year makes. We'll take our latest look at the college football playoffs on University Drive, and the latest with college basketball locally. The Rams are back in Richmond from a 2-1 trip in the Bahamas and a win over in-state rival Virginia Tech. But you know how we like to start the show every day, by catching you up on anything you missed around the sports world when we open up the sports app.
Here it is, everybody.
Clearly, this is the future.
Stats, scores, highlights.
Whoa, are you serious?
Wi-Fi plus 3G, 64K. This one.
The sports app.
It certainly felt like the catch heard around the world. Sunday Night Football, Washington against the Denver Broncos, and Treylon Burks makes a catch that could only be compared to Odell Beckham Jr. Let's take a listen to the call.
Third and goal at the 5. They're 5-for-6 on third down. Can they make it 6-for-7? Mariota throwing a fade route.
Oh, my gosh!
Burks, one-handed catch! Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! Unreal grab by Burks!
Are you serious, Trey Burks? Who needs two hands when you can go up and make a one-handed snag and grab like that?
That was filthy. That
one
was the
hand,
most disgusting
6
thing.
Points, touchdown for Treylon Burks. The Commanders' defense would make a big play to get them back in it in the second half. As Bo Nix felt pressure in his face, he threw it to Bobby Wagner. Wags with the interception. Let's take a listen to the call.
14-13 to go, fourth quarter. Denver by 6. In motion, Pat Bryant. Nix is in the gun. His fullback, Prentice, is the back next to him. Here's the snap. Washington Bridge 4. Pressure coming.
Oh! Picked up by Bobby Wagner at the 40. Drop down at the 36. An interception for Bobby Wagner!
this Thanksgiving weekend, so we are thankful for that pass right into the hands of Bobby Wagner. Thank you, Bo.
And on Sunday Night Football, we played extra football in overtime. The Denver Broncos go down the field and take a 7-point lead. The Commanders get the ball. Terry McLaurin into the end zone. No, it's called back for a holding. The very next play, Deebo Samuel down to the 1-yard line. Now we fast forward to fourth down with the game on the line. Marcus Mariota finds scary Terry.
Mariota's in the gun. The back is McNichols. Two wides to the right, two to the left. Burks goes in motion. Here's the snap. Mariota throws to Terry McLaurin. Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! A slant to Terry that gives Washington the opportunity to tie or go for a win.
And in overtime, especially with the new rules, you want the ball last so you can see what you need to achieve. Well, they saw that they needed 8 points to win the game because the Broncos scored and got the extra point. So after Terry gets in the end zone, they go for two. Let's take a listen to Bram Weinstein once again.
Ball's marked at the two. Two-point conversion for the game. In motion, Jeremy McNichols joins Marcus Mariota in the backfield. Three wide receivers to the left for the game.
There
Blitz
it is.
Coming. Mariota.
Oh, and it gets batted out of the air by Nick Bonito. And Denver is going to win 27-26. Mariota was backing up. He threw the ball. Bonito got up in the air and swatted it out of the sky.
More on the final play throughout the show today. Denver actually called timeout right before these two-point conversion, changed their scheme defensively that allowed Bonito to get a free rush. So the Commanders take another loss here. Just a terrible season. It does not get any better. Their second overtime loss in a row. Let's move over to college football on the Sports app. The big story over the weekend, Lane Kiffin hired as LSU's next head ball coach. He will not finish the season at Ole Miss after Ole Miss won on Friday and advanced to the CFP. Their defensive coordinator will take over. Kentucky dismisses football coach Mark Stoops in a surprising story over the weekend. And Manny Diaz says that Duke absolutely deserves to be in the ACC title game. We'll take a closer look at this later. I think no. The answer is no. Duke doesn't deserve to be in. It's not the best thing for the conference moving forward. The conference is desperate to get a team in, yes. But also, to have a team compete and maybe win a game, that would be massive for the ACC. I think Virginia has a chance to win a game. I think Miami would have a chance to win a game. Not the Duke Blue Devils. They have been awful this season in non-conference, including a loss to Kentucky in football. I mean, not Kentucky. Connecticut in football. UConn in football. Are you kidding me? What the heck is up with that? Texas takes down Texas A&M. They think they now belong in the CFP. I'm sorry. I say no. Three losses. Texas should not be allowed in. But it was number 16, Texas, over number 3, Texas A&M. Georgia over number 23, Georgia Tech, 16-9. Arizona got a win over ASU. Ohio State humbled Michigan and ended their season over the weekend. And Miami trounced number 22, Pittsburgh. Let's get to the big game locally, and that was Virginia against Virginia Tech. Chandler Morris runs one in for UVA, and they get the Commonwealth Cup W.
Morris the key. Got away from Stevens. Oh, put in the ground, oh. Chandler Morris!
Cal, late night, defeats SMU. The call stands. That sends Duke to the ACC title game. It will be Duke against Virginia next Saturday night at 8 p.m. We'll take a look at some of the championship game schedule that has come out today on AWOD Radio. And, of course, we will have our eye on the Sun Belt champ. That could be the JMU Dukes. Would that be enough to get JMU into the 12-team college football playoffs? We'll discuss it today on University Drive. The latest, Bob Chesney, the head coach of the JMU Dukes football team, making a move towards UCLA. Yes, UCLA. Bob Chesney has become a top person of interest for the Bruins, according to CBS Sports. That came out last night. Let's take a listen to Get Up ESPN and Paul Feinbaum on the latest with Lane Kiffin going to LSU from Ole Miss.
Well, the easy answer is LSU is a much better job, but that is until you look at the last couple of years when Ole Miss has been the better program and is infinitely better right now. Ole Miss fired its coach and paid him LSU fired its coach and paid him $53 million. So it looks like a better program for this reason. National championship seemed to come to LSU. Saban won one. Les Miles won one. Ogeron won one with Joe Burrows. Ole Miss hasn't won a national championship in college football since John Kennedy was president. So that's why it looks that way. But in many ways, Lane Kiffin had a much better program where he was until yesterday.
It's a weird situation here. I'm kind of a Lane Kiffin fan. I also wanted Lane Kiffin to coach out this season with Ole Miss. The problem, I don't think the problem is Ole Miss. I don't think the problem is LSU. I think the problem is the system itself that allows players to transfer before the end of the season. Let's move over to the NHL on the Sports app. The Washington Capitals were in action over the weekend, and they have a couple of days off here. They will get back on the ice on Wednesday against the Sharks here, but actually they play tomorrow against the Kings, back-to-back days, Tuesday and Wednesday against the Kings and then the Sharks. But every day on the sports app we track the Washington Capitals, and of course the greatest goal scorer in the history of the NHL resides in Washington, and that's Alex Ovechkin. Tom Wilson gets a goal off an Ovi assist. Let's take a listen to the call.
Trying to get the power play well, and they begin by winning the faceoff and keeping it in the Islander zone. Across to Ovechkin, a pass low to Wilson. He scores! Tom Wilson, short side on Ilya Sorokin, and just like that, 11 seconds into the power play, Wilson makes it 1-0, Washington!
Wilson would score again, unassisted in the second, and after a pair of goals by both teams, the Washington Capitals held a 3-1 lead. And New York had to pull their netminder, which meant Alex Ovechkin searching for another goal.
That'll end up in the corner, and now out to center, Chychrun, ahead to Ovechkin. Ovechkin toward the empty net, and it is in. Alex Ovechkin adds to the goal total. Gets it into the empty net with 30.6 to go, and the Capitals are going to start off this road trip with a bang. It's 4-1 Washington.
That is Ovi's 12th goal of the season. It helped the Capitals secure a 4-1 win. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on The Fan. The Rams are back in town, and they've got a game at the Stew on Friday after going 2-1 in the Bahamas, a much-needed victory over South Florida to put themselves in the winner's bracket, where they then fell to Vanderbilt, who went on to win it all. I thought the Rams had an awesome performance against Vanderbilt. The shots just didn't fall. Well, they did the next day as VCU took down Virginia Tech at the Bahamas with some brunch and basketball. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. We'll crosstalk with Michael Phillips.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
this wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ups when we return. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. We're broadcasting live from Capitol Ale House here in Innsbruck. Come on down, grab a beer, and check out the show. We are live and local Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 p.m. Hokie Steve will join us here live from Capitol Ale House at 2 p.m. I'm sure he is mourning the defeat to UVA as the Commonwealth Cup now resides with the Hoos, who will be heading to Charlotte, North Carolina, for the ACC title game next weekend. Cannot wait for that. We'll go around the NFL with our winners and losers. Well, Michael Phillips is with us right now. We call this segment Crosstalk on the Fan.
If I could just have your attention.
It's Crosstalk with Adam Epstein and Michael Phillips on the Fan. It's like that one 90s movie that everybody loved. What's the name of that movie? It's not Crosstalk, but it sounds like Crosstalk. It's Crosstalk on the Fan. Oh, Face Off with Travolta and Nick Cage. But this is Crosstalk.
Michael Phillips, MP. What's up, dude?
Feeling good. That was a wild game last night.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm going to start with this because this is an AWOD original opinion here. Cliff Kingsbury called a great game. He deserved to have his two-point conversion stopped. When you go with a gimmick like that, it was an obvious pick play. Like, it might have worked if Mariota had flipped it over the guy, but I think you are a smarter game planner than that, Cliff Kingsbury, and you have McLaurin, who had been hot, Ertz, who had been playing well, Debo, and you go with a gimmick play, you kind of deserve to lose, in my mind.
Yeah, I think it may have happened at the line, too, because it was very clearly a zero blitz. And so, you know, if you're going to run side of the right, Ertz to the back of the end zone, you just don't have time to do that, right? So you're diagnosing that at the line. In an ideal world, McNichols probably chips then rolls, right? Because, you know, that gives you one extra body. But then he's got 4 or 5 yards to run to get into the end zone. So, Dan Quinn was very much... hats off to the Broncos. They ran a nice play there. They got the stop when it mattered. And that's a very good defense. That's a defense that's carrying Bo Nix's lifeless corpse across the finish line here to 10-2. But yeah, it always stings when you get that close and don't win.
Yeah, I really hate the pick plays. I hate it so much. I know, I'm very aware that's how they scored on the touchdown to McLaurin. I just think you got to be smarter than that with your game plan. And I just hate throwing it to McNichols when McLaurin and Ertz and Debo and even Treylon Burks were the reason you were in that game at the end. It stings. You know, I heard you talking about a moral victory on your show. I would have loved to have won that game. I'm not in the boat of, hey, every loss is, you know, a tank and for a better draft pick. I wanted to win that game, but I am so proud that they gave me every reason to stay up on a Sunday night.
Yeah, and you know, to your point, I think everybody, hopefully, is still rooting for them to win as soon as Jaden gets back as well, because those will be important morale boosters, important momentum boosters going into the offseason. Winnable game Sunday against the Vikings. Everything you mentioned. How about the O-line? Toss a game ball to the offensive line. I thought they played very well for the entirety of the game against, again, an excellent Broncos defense. That's a really good unit. They lived up to their billing last night, something we had not previously seen this season.
Michael Phillips, MP on the mic, can be heard from 10 to 12 noon. And if you rewind today on the Odyssey app, Michael set up some fighting words here on Crosstalk with your take on the two-point conversion play between Friday night's Bears and Eagles game. Yep. Give us your opinion here.
Yeah, so you're down 9 and you score. So your options are you can kick an extra point and be down 8. Which is, of course, branded as the one-score game, or you can go for the two-point conversion. You can be down 7, so that if you were to score again, you wouldn't need the two-point conversion. Obviously, the downside of that is if you don't get the two-point conversion, you're now down 9 all of a sudden. The correct move always in this situation, and it's not analytics, it's not advanced stats, it's not Moneyball, the correct common-sense play here is always to go for the two-point conversion.
Why is that common sense when we all saw it play out? They missed. They were then down by 9, got the ball back, and it didn't matter because the game was already over.
The mistake you're making is thinking of this as a unit. It's a one-score game, right? A touchdown and a two-point conversion. Those are actually two separate scoring plays. There is a six-point scoring play, the touchdown, and a two-point scoring play, the two-point conversion. Regardless of when you score, when you go for it, whatever, you agree with me that in order to tie that game, you have to complete a two-point conversion at some point, right? We're both just on board with that, that you would rather do it later than sooner. That's fine. The reason you do it sooner is because you need to know if you're going to get that score or not. It would be like saying, why kick a field goal now? We can kick a field goal later. Well, you kick a field goal now so you have the information about how many points you have and how many points you need. That two-point conversion has to be completed at some point. It's not connected to the touchdown. It's an unrelated scoring play. You need to do it so you know if you can do it or not.
You are talking into circles, and to me, it's making absolutely zero sense. But we actually have someone on the line that wants to chime in. Chris from Jackson Ward on line 2. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Wad. What's going on?
What's up, man? So you wanted to chime in on this?
Yeah.
Our producer said you are an Eagles fan.
Correct, and I was furious when they went for 2. You do want it to, same with like an extra point. That technically what Michael Phillips was saying, MP on the mic, he's like, oh, those are two separate things. Well, so is kicking an extra point. So that's like one thing. But also, you always want to cut it to 8 because you saw how deflated the defense got, the offense got. Like, the Bears could relax. They could be like, oh, we got this game. Let's go into prevent defense. You basically ended the game, and you do want it one possession game, because if you get one stop, you get the ball back and you have a chance to tie. But when, even if you, yeah, it was just ridiculous to not have 9, but you can go ahead,
Michael.
Yeah, if you wait and do the two-point conversion at the end, you just lose later instead of losing sooner. That play doesn't magically work better if you wait 5 minutes to run it.
Well, that's what I don't understand, where you're coming from here. Don't you want to lose on the final play of the game so that you have all the information? Because you lost with 5 minutes left, basically, and then they went into prevent defense there, and there was just no chance. I think what Chris is saying, what I'm saying there, is at 8 points, anything can happen because there's time left and both teams are nervous. And that's why I said I'm blaming analytics, because you're not factoring in the human element. Why could the Bears have not done what the Commanders did against them, fumble the football, and then lose the game?
Yeah, and last night, right, the Broncos choosing not to go for 2, going up, you know, choosing to go up 6 instead of 7 in the third quarter, right? You know, there's always the timing element. Wins too soon, wins too late. I think I'm always trying to maximize my chances to win the game. And this is like, you know, we're debating, like, when do you throw a Hail Mary, basically. Like, you know, it's hard to get the two-point conversion, and by design in the NFL. I'm going to just say, hey, if I go down 9, all right, I know, I got to get 2 scores and we're going to get after it. You know, statistically speaking, this whole teams are deflated is nonsense. Defenses create stops at the exact same rate, whether they're down 9 or down 8 late. And also, you know, you better score quickly. You got to get the onside kick. Kick a field goal, do your onside kick. Like, it gives you a chance, a long shot chance, but a chance to catch those points and win the game anyway.
I don't get
don't
the
understand.
Information thing. Like, everyone, yeah, I don't get the information thing, because everyone's saying, like, oh, thank God we have the information. Oh, man, like, now we know we need 2 scores instead of, I'd rather be down 2 scores. And, like, that's what it seems like you're saying. Like, good thing I'd rather know that I need 9 than be down 8. And you can get a pick 6 and then you need 1 offensive play at the 2-point conversion. Like, I don't get why, like, this thing about needing information is so valuable. It's like, oh, thank God we know we're down 9 now. Like, I know you just said, like, you need 2 possessions, which, like, ended the game, versus just keep, you're like a play away on being down 8.
I'm very progressive in this. I also love, if you're down 14 and you score, you go for 2, because if you get it, you can then win the game on your next possession. If you don't get it, you can then do the two-point conversion and tie the game. You know, both outcomes, good outcomes, as opposed to just two extra points where you're guaranteed to tie the game, go to overtime. I'm pedal to the metal. I love Dan Campbell. I love going for it on fourth down. I love when Dan Quinn did that last year. I love that he reclaimed a little bit of that over the last couple of weeks. I'm always going to be as aggressive as possible in trying to get a win in a football game.
Right, but we're debating this, and your words were, it's not a debate, it's common sense. It doesn't sound like that when two people are disagreeing with you, and now you're saying that you're just pedal to the metal, you're ultra-aggressive. Well, the ultra-aggressiveness bit you in the ass in that Bears game, and I agree with the caller here. Like, anything could have happened if you kicked the extra point and made it an 8-point game. You could have had a pick six, and then you just need one offensive play or even a tush push away from tying this game. The more information idea, I think, is such a joke, because the information doesn't matter until we're at all zeros. And then the information says, yeah, it's game over. But if you had just kicked the extra point, it's an 8-point game, you either get a defensive stop, you get a defensive turnover, or you then get the ball back and you score, and then even if you missed the 2-point conversion, then you have time for the onside kick. But with the 9 points, then you need two more possessions.
I'm intrigued by your comment that you'd rather lose with 1 second left than with 5 minutes left. I just enjoy not losing, personally. Like, if there's anything you could do to make it more likely to win the football game, that's the thing I'm going to do.
Right. And I'm saying you're more likely to win the game when the clocks are at 0-0 because you've given yourself another possession. Chris, you want to chime in?
Yeah, I was thinking, like, maybe another reason you did it because Jake Elliott missed the extra point earlier, so that could have factored into it. It was, like, super windy. So even, like, in the exact elements of the game, I felt like Nick Sirianni was like, this guy is shaky. We can't even trust him to make an extra point. So,
well, Washington doesn't trust its kicker to make from 56. We know all about that situation.
Yeah. Also, what's your VCU MP and AWOD? I thought it was a pretty solid showing. It was more fun that it was Virginia Tech, but tough to lose to a ranked team, but just wanted your guys' take on that.
I don't think this changes our resume much in terms of an at-large bid. Do you, Michael?
I think it keeps the door cracked open. I think the A-10 as a whole did a lot better this November than it did in past Novembers. You got, you're the KenPom guy. What's our number? 6 teams in the top 100 right now in KenPom in the A-10. That's better than they were last year. And so getting those with, I think the Vandy win will ultimately, or the Vandy loss will ultimately age well. Like, I think Vandy's a good team. It's not going to be like Seton Hall and drag you down. They didn't do anything to kick down the door and say, we deserve it. But I think the door is still propped open.
Yeah, I think you're relying on Virginia Tech to be a really strong team in the ACC. And my honest opinion is, if they were going to be a really strong team in the ACC, they probably would have beaten us. Like, I was disappointed by the showing from Virginia Tech. I mean, I'll say it right to Hokie Steve.
Yeah.
I thought this was the most talented team Mike Young's ever had. You found yourself down by 20 points to a VCU team that's still getting to know each other. So, to me, it was kind of eye-opening about Virginia Tech.
To a VCU team that goes down 10 to start every game, apparently, in the Bahamas, and then all of a sudden they flip the script on that. I agree. Nicholas of Dallas, I mean, look, I get the hype. I get the potential. The Providence highlights were great. But he's been inconsistent at best.
Yeah. I mean, he looks slower than I expected, and I think we're all realizing that Providence is not very good, and Kim English has pulled a fast one on everybody because he's popular on social media. He was not successful at George Mason. I feel like I need to keep saying that every year.
Yeah, you keep yelling, you're correct about that, and obviously their success right now tells you what you need to know about the potential there and the guys there. I think he's got to play decently, but I know with these NBA guys that a lot of times the hype carries it. I mean, there have been lots of NBA players who are lottery picks who don't make the tournament on their college teams. I've never understood that. I like winners, Adam.
That's Michael Phillips. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, not 105.1 FM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD. We are live and local here on the new Sports Radio 910, The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, broadcasting live from Capital Ale House here in Innsbruck. Come on down, grab a beer, and check out the show. Take an extended lunch break on a Monday. You deserve it. The Rams are back in Richmond from a successful 2-1 trip in the Bahamas in the 2025 Battle for Atlantis. And they've got a home game coming up this week. Make sure you stay locked to 910 The Fan. We are going to give away a pair of tickets this week on AWOD Radio to the next VCU home game. We're going to be giving away tickets every week to a VCU home game this season. Joining us right now on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline, color analyst for VCU basketball, Rodney Ashby. What's up, big fella?
What's up, my guy? What's up, AWOD? Missed you down in the Bahamas. Wish you could have been there with us.
Oh, I know. I know. I told the Red Door guys they got to send me to Maui next year because that's going to be a blast. How would you recap the trip? 2-1, not bad at all. And the most important thing was ending up in the winner's bracket, winning the first game, right?
Yeah, that first game is always the toughest one to win in these MTEs. You know, you're just getting out there and you're starting to learn about the, you know, their arena and things like that. But a nice win against a solid, what I think will be at least a quad two, maybe a quad one win at the end of the day against South Florida, put us in the winner's bracket. And we did catch that Vanderbilt buzzsaw, but so did everybody else in the tournament as well.
Yeah, and I got to say, I loved the effort we got from Barry Evans in the Virginia Tech game. He has become one of the most crucial pieces for this team to have success this season. He had an incredible game against South Florida, and then 0 points against Vanderbilt, 17 against Virginia Tech. What do you make of what you saw from Barry Evans?
Well, what I really thought was impressive about that is that, you know, he really did have a very tough game against Vanderbilt, but the ability to bounce back the next day and really, you know, will us into beating Virginia Tech the way that he did, I think was really big. He, you know, a lot of guys could just fold or, you know, put the tail between your legs and not come back and respond the way that he did, but not him. And I think that just shows, you know, some of that senior leadership is that he came back and was ready to go and came back and really battled against the Hokies.
Yeah, and I'm starting to love what I've seen from this coaching staff, Phil Martelli Jr. and his brother and the staff he's put together here. They make really good adjustments at halftime. I thought that they responded to coach saying they weren't getting off to good starts. They had a fast start against the Hokies there, which was very necessary. And, you know, I liked the overall effort in the three games in the Bahamas, even though, you know, we would have liked to win against Vanderbilt. They showed effort for a full 40 minutes there in all three games.
No, I totally agree, and I agree with the coaching staff. I think that they did make some great adjustments in all three games. And coming out of that tournament 2-1, it's the first time we've ever won the third-place game. So I was pretty excited with it about it. I'm excited to, you know, get going and play another game in front of our home fans. And, you know, really that was, you know, our last big opportunity non-conference-wise to, you know, get some of those quad one wins, and we came coming out of that in 2-1 pretty happy about it.
Yeah, absolutely. How about the thrill of T. Hill, Terrence Hill, My goodness, has he been automatic from three-point range this season?
Yeah, and, you know, that's another kid that had a rough game against Vanderbilt and came back, really bounced back, 5 for 5 from behind the arc against Vanderbilt. I mean against the Hokies.
Virginia Tech.
You know, he did a really good job of coming back and bouncing back from that game. And, look, none of these guys are lacking in confidence, and they really do a good job of picking each other up when they do have a rough game. Somebody else might step in and have a good game. But Terrence Hill continues to impress me. And, you know, I love his story. Was buried in the bench last year behind, you know, the likes of Joe Bamisell and Zeb Jackson and Max Shulga, and then, you know, but decided to stay with the new coaching staff. And, you know, it's paying off for both him and the Rams for sure.
I do feel like roles are starting to develop on this team. They get good bench performance from Terrence Hill, from Michael Bell in this tournament. And it seems like Jadrian Tracy is turning into the guy that Martelli Jr. relies on in a big moment. And I thought he had a really decent performance there in the tournament as a whole. What do you think about Jadrian Tracy becoming the big shot maker for the Rams?
Yeah, Bam has just started to play really, really well for us and starting to come into his own. And I agree with the roles. And what I think is most interesting about that and talking to the coaching staff is that we asked if they had started to define roles for the kids, and they said no. They're letting them kind of figure their way out. You know, obviously they're guiding them into the right direction, but they're still letting them figure out their own roles. And they also were very quick to say their roles may change based depending upon the game. I mean, look at Michael Bell. I mean, Michael Bell has really found a nice little niche. But like you said, Bam Tracy, he's got a lot of games under his belt. He's played in some big-time leagues. He is a guy that the Rams are going to have to lean on coming down into the conference schedule. And, you know, I still think Terrell Ward has some juice left in that orange as well.
Oh yeah. I mean, I just guarantee you he's going to have a game in which he gets hot from three. Just got to stay calm under pressure on the offensive side of the ball and defend without fouling. Rodney, on the broadcast, all right, so you were on radio with Robbie, and we encourage everybody to listen along. But on the TV broadcast, they said the winner of this game would get to hang out in the Bahamas, maybe swim with the Dolphins because they weren't going to leave for the next day. Do you know if the Rams got to celebrate after the win over Virginia Tech and hang out with Dolphins?
They did. They did. We got to, I don't know if they swam with the Dolphins, but they did all the slides. They were out in the water parks. You know, they did not get a chance to do much before. You know, we had all day games before. We flew in Monday night and had a nice Thanksgiving team dinner with everybody. And that was awesome. Good job, you know, by the Atlantis putting that on for everybody. And then on Tuesday, there was a day of practice, but then they didn't do a whole lot other than rest and get ready for the games the next day. Then we played in the middle of the day the next 3 days. But that Friday night, they definitely let loose a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, how crucial are these bonding trips for team chemistry? I thought it was interesting. Barry Evans talks about he's got a really good friendship with Jordan Tillery. And it's like, that's the old guy with the freshman. But this team seems to really get along with each other.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if you noticed, but after the game, our last home game, he waited for Jordan while we were doing the post-game interview. I mean, these trips are, like, priceless, because now you got to remember every year you're adding 6, 7, 8, this year for us 9 new players. I mean, they've got to get the opportunity not only to get to know each other on the court, but off the court as well, and this speeds them up for sure.
Absolutely. So how do you feel about the at-large chances of making the NCAA tournament following this year's MTE?
Look, I still think we hold the keys to that. I mean, I think we're going to have to hold home serve for the rest of the non-conference schedule, and that includes a pretty tough showdown against New Mexico. I think that we'll have to come and finish in the top two, maybe three in the league, but I think you're going to have to finish, you know, top two. I think the first net rankings came out today. We've got work to do there. You know, we're in the 50s, so we've got to, I think, be 40 or below in order for that to happen. And, you know, the league has 6 teams in the top 100. I think that's, you know, that's heading in the right direction. So I still think we hold the keys to that. I think we have to finish up strong in the non-conference, and I think we need a little help from our conference mates to see if we can get another couple teams in the top 100 coming into the conference season.
Yeah, I think they have to go undefeated in December. There's no question about that, though, and that includes a win over New Mexico.
Yeah, I totally agree. Totally agree. I mean, yeah. like I said, that's doable. It's at home. We play well at home. We've got great fan support. And the fans that came to the Bahamas, A-Rod, I'm telling you, they were loud. And had good turnout from them, and they were spirited, and they were excited to be there.
Well, that's awesome to hear, and a good performance gives VCU a 2-1 record in the Bahamas, 5-3 overall. That's Rodney Ashby. He'll be on the call alongside Robbie Robinson. Thanks a lot for joining us, man.
Thanks, AWOD. I'll talk to you soon.
Yep, you're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, not 105.1 FM.
Third and 14. Snap to Mariota. He's got time. Chucks it up. Oh! Like Debo Samuel gets it at the 10. He's pulled down right at the 1 yard line. 39 yard connection between Mariota and Debo.
Debo's coming. Who? Debo! Man, you're talking about taking your shot down the field. We haven't really been able to get explosive plays against this Broncos defense all game. But you're talking about a timely throw down the sideline. Debo comes up with a big catch.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. So that was Bram Weinstein, London Fletcher on the call right after Terry McLaurin got in the end zone for what looked to be a overtime score. They called it back for a holding. And then the next play, Debo Samuel gets behind Moss. And the Commanders were picking on Moss all game long. Treylon Burks mossed Moss in the corner for the big play of the game. Let's get to the Commanders' corner. Reactions to the loss right now, if you want to chime in. 833-804-0910. Look, it sucks that we lost, but I loved the effort that Washington displayed. And I absolutely think that Dan Quinn calling the defense is making a huge difference. You can feel his energy on the field as this team gets off the field, makes crucial stops, including a Bobby Wagner interception to keep themselves in this game. Let's get to the who, what, when, how, and why. Washington lost to the Denver Broncos on Sunday Night Football. Everybody around the country was picking Denver to win this game. Everybody was also picking for this game to be a blowout, saying that, oh, this was the best defense in football and one of the hottest offenses. And yet Washington showed up, and they showed up early, and they stuck with their game plan of being able to run the football and pass it quick. I loved the game plan from the offensive and defensive coordinator of the Commanders. And, of course, now that's Dan Quinn on defense. But Cliff Kingsbury, I thought, had a great game plan on offense. It looked like a team that, number one, was inspired, number two, was well-rested, and number three, had 14 days to prepare for this game like they had coming off of the bye. Unbelievable effort, and that's an A-plus right there. Now we get to the who, what, when, how, and why. Who won the game for the Broncos? Nick Benito. I mean, he made a great play. Game on the line, he made the great play for Denver to win. You know, I certainly told Michael I hate the play call by Cliff Kingsbury there. I thought he called a great game until that one. I just don't like targeting Jeremy McNichols with the game on the line when McLaurin, Ertz, Debo, and Treylon Burks had all made plays to get you to that opportunity. But I understand it. The whole league runs gimmicky plays around the goal line. It's full of pick plays and illegal screens. And Washington did one. And McNichols was wide open. But Mariota just didn't make the right pass. He didn't lob it enough. And Benito made a great play. But I also think Washington set the standard now for how to beat the Broncos. How to mitigate their pass rush, move the football against them. 400-plus yards of offense on one of the best defenses in football. Yeah, we set the standard now. Teams are going to watch this film, look back, and thank Washington when they meet off against the Broncos in December and the postseason. What lost the game? It was the Marcus Mariota turnover in the red zone. I mean, could you imagine how this game would have been different if we had just settled for three there? It was such a stupid play. He's filled with these stupid plays. Like, it happens twice a game. It's the exact reason why he's not a starting quarterback in this league, but he also makes plays why you realize he's one of the best backups, right? Like when he kept the play alive on fourth down. But what was he thinking in the red zone? Looked like he had an opportunity to run, and then he jumps in the air and throws the ball? He does this multiple times a game. I don't know what he's thinking. That's what lost us this game, because we were decent in the red zone and had one turnover. They were good in the red zone and got at least field goals every time down there. When did Washington lose this game? Look, I am so proud that it was not over until the final play of the game. And you don't usually say that about a team that's 3-8 coming into a primetime Sunday night football game against a team that's at the top of their division and at the top of the AFC. But the game was absolutely not over until the final play, when Mariota's pass to Jeremy McNichols was batted down by Nick Benito. How did Washington lose this game? I think it goes down to the keys to victory in this one. The third key was to have better red zone success than the Broncos. And both teams ended up being 3 of 5 in the red zone. But Washington had the turnover in the red zone. That was the difference in the game. Why did Washington lose this game? I mean, look, they lost this game because the defense played so good and then actually had their worst drive of the game in overtime. I mean, why did Washington lose this game? Because the defense collapsed in overtime. You go back to that fourth quarter, and Dan Quinn, like, first off, his team got an interception in the fourth quarter, right? That's unbelievable stuff right there. And then a three and out. I've been calling for a three and out all season long. We got one on the second drive of the fourth quarter. The third drive, we gave up one first down and then forced them to punt. And then the fourth drive was another three and out. There are four drives in overtime, in fourth quarter. Interception, three and out, punt, three and out. And then they get the ball in overtime, and they go five plays, 76 yards. That's why Washington lost. All of a sudden, the defense gave up. Let them go right down the field in overtime after multiple three and outs in the fourth quarter. So frustrating. And we did everything on offense to give ourselves a chance, right? McLaurin touchdown, called back with holding. Next play to Deebo Samuel, right? Once again, I thought Cliff called a great game, even the fourth down touchdown to Terry McLaurin. But it's a pick play. I'm not for the gimmicky stuff, especially when you have guys making insane plays like Traylon Diggs catching the one-handed Odell Beckham fade pass. And then they never threw it to him again after that. I just didn't like the pick play. I don't like the gimmicky stuff on the goal line when you've got playmakers to go out and win the game for you. And so I'm frustrated by that, but I love the effort that my team showed here against the Denver Broncos in overtime. Denver wins 27-26. Looks like they're probably going to hold on and win their division. And for Washington, well, we've got games still on the schedule. I think we have meat left on the bone here. I would like to show more effort like we did in that one and maybe get a win over the Vikings. I'd love for us to beat the Giants, battle with the Eagles twice, and we have to beat Dallas and end their season on Christmas. That's the most important thing for me moving forward. Beating the Cowboys on Christmas and making Jerry Jones have a bad Christmas. We can be the Grinch that stole the Cowboys' playoff chances. It has to happen on Christmas. My dad was with me on Thanksgiving. He said the only thing that's wrong about this Thanksgiving is knowing that Jerry Jones is happy. But we can ruin his Christmas when the Washington Commanders host the Cowboys. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Phone lines are open. What were your thoughts on the loss? 833-804-0910. That's 833-804-0910. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Dianaroga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.